Welcome, and thank you for joining the National Multiple Sclerosis Society's MS Learn Online Internet Program. I'm Rick Turner, your host and medical correspondent. Living with multiple sclerosis can produce more questions than answers. So this webcast will be the first of two webcasts that focus strictly on your unanswered questions that have been sent to us via email from our listeners. Answering these questions for us today is Dr. Barbara Geiser. Dr. Geiser is a neurologist and the medical director for the Marilyn Hilton MS Achievement Center at UCLA. Welcome to MS Learn Online, Dr. Geiser.
Thank you, Rick.
Let's get right to our questions. Marianne writes, I have been on Rebif for about 4 years now. Should I just keep taking this same medication forever? I've read some articles about MS therapies becoming ineffective or even harmful after a while. Seems to be working for now, though. What would you say to Marianne?
In general, if you and your neurologist agree that the medication seems to be working and you're tolerating it well, we would certainly advise you continuing on it. Rebif, which is a brand name for a molecule called beta interferon 1A, has been in use in this country and Europe for well over a decade, and we have long-term safety data on it. So we know that certainly at 4 years, which is the time you've been on it, it's safe and is safer for many years beyond that. So under the category of if it isn't broke, don't fix it, if the medication is working and well-tolerated, we would advise you to continue it.
And is there any indication that over time it becomes less effective?
Certainly in some people, some of the disease-modifying agents may appear to lose their efficacy after a while, and this may be because the disease changes, not that the medication loses its potency. But different forms of MS respond differently to different types of medications.
Okay. Diane was diagnosed in 1995, and her symptoms of tremors and dizziness seem to be increasing. What can be done, and is there anything that can be done that doesn't involve medication?
Certainly, other non-pharmacologic modalities that can be used to treat dizziness and tremors would involve rehabilitative modalities. So, for example, for some people with dizziness or vertigo, there are certain physical therapy and balance maneuvers that will sometimes help with this symptom. In terms of tremors, we don't have very good drugs to treat tremors. So, again, we try to rely on rehabilitative modalities. Something that an occupational therapist, such as assistive devices, might employ. For people with very severe tremors, sometimes they are appropriate for a device called a deep brain stimulator, in which electrodes are inserted deep into certain parts of the brain, and then a sort of pacemaker device is used to control the tremors. This device is more commonly used for people with Parkinson's, which is a different type of tremor than MS, but it has been used with some success for some people with multiple sclerosis.
Nancy states, my sister and I have MS. My twin brother, though, does not. So, obviously, the study of genetics is always of interest to me. What are the current findings on this topic in MS?
There's a lot of interest in the genetics of MS because we think that MS tends to develop in genetically susceptible individuals. And while a number of genes have been identified as contributing to the risk of MS, we haven't got the whole genetic picture figured out. Your brother is somewhat less at risk than you or your sister just because he's a male, but he's at increased risk compared to a friend of his who doesn't have sisters who have multiple sclerosis. This is an area of intense interest and one that's being funded heavily by the National MS Society.
Another emailer sent this. There seems to be more information regarding constipation in MS, but I need information on lack of control of the bowels. What can I do about that?
Constipation and lack of bowel control are actually sort of two different sides of the same issue, which is the bowel is not functioning properly. And constipation can contribute to somebody having a sudden uncontrollable urge to have a bowel movement. So generally, for people who have this issue, we do advise them to try and be regular, to have regular bowel movements, or to try to have a bowel movement under a controlled fashion, say when you're at home and won't be caught unawares. Keys to bowel regularity would include having a diet that's rich in fiber, appropriate fluids. Sometimes medications such as stool softeners or bulking agents will also help to promote bowel regularity.
And does exercise help at all in that?
Exercise is very good for promoting bowel regularity, and in fact, one of the reasons that people with MS tend to become constipated may be because they are less mobile or less active.
Sure.
Also, some medications, notably those that are used for bladder control, will also promote constipation.
Okay. Another emailer writes, I need more direction in dealing with heat and fatigue. I feel like I become a hermit during the summer, and I want to be free to do more and not stay at home alone. What would you say to this listener?
Certainly, heat can be very challenging for people with MS, and the reason is that heat does not produce more nerve damage in a person with MS, but heat will temporarily impair the ability of an injured nerve to conduct electricity. And when the nerve does not conduct electricity, that's why people experience symptoms. So certainly, we advise people to take advantage of air conditioning as much as possible, also to try to keep their person cool, and there are many ways to accomplish this. They may be as easy as sipping cold drinks or eating ice chips or putting a cold, wet scarf around their neck to cooling garments. And again, these can range from very simple ones, which are vests that have pockets to put cold packs in, to sort of NASA-type space garments where the garment actually has circulating water going through it. Also, we try to tell people to practice energy conservation if they're going to be outside, to try to go early in the morning or in the evening when the weather is cooler.
Another emailer writes, do you have any experience with the use of methotrexate to reduce the activity of MS and increase the time of relapse?
Methotrexate is a chemotherapy agent. It's usually given for cancer and more commonly for different forms of rheumatologic disease, and it's used in MS as an immunosuppressant. The main study of methotrexate in people with MS showed that it had some beneficial effect on stabilizing upper extremity function, but didn't seem to help mobility. So methotrexate is an agent that we sometimes use in combination, perhaps with a disease-modifying agent, but it may not be as effective as some of the other immunosuppressants that we use.
And the concept there is using some sort of chemotherapy will knock down the activity overall of the immune system. Is that right?
That's exactly right, Rick. As you know, multiple sclerosis represents a disease of immune dysfunction where the immune system goes in and starts attacking nerves in the brain and the spinal cord. And so an immunosuppressant is kind of a nonspecific way, as you said, of just knocking back the immune activity.
Right. And one more question. Do you encourage your patients with MS to receive flu shots?
We generally tell people with MS to get the flu shot under a number of different conditions. If they're exposed to a lot of people during flu season, if there's an increased risk that they might get the flu, if they have any pre-existing history of respiratory illness that might make them susceptible to the flu, or if they're one of those people that, quote, always gets the flu. What we do tell them, though, is to avoid live flu vaccine and to go with killed vaccine.
And is that the difference between the injected and the spray type?
That's correct. Generally, the flu mist, the inhalable, is live vaccine, and we would tell people to avoid that and to go with an injectable, which is generally a killed vaccine, but they would want to ask their doctor just to make sure.
Right. Okay, Dr. Geiser, thanks very much. You've answered a variety of questions today, and we look forward to having you back soon to answer some more questions from our viewers. Thanks again.
Thank you very much, Rick.
The National MS Society is proud to be a source of information for you about multiple sclerosis. Our comments are based on professional advice, published experience, and expert opinion, but do not represent individual therapeutic recommendation or prescription. For specific information and advice, consult a qualified physician. If you have a question that was not addressed, please email us at mslearnonline@nmss.org. If you'd like more information on multiple sclerosis, click on the resources link on your screen or call the chapter nearest you for an answer to your question. And you can reach your chapter by calling 1-800-FIGHT-MS. That's 1-800-344-4867. You may also want to check the National MS Society's website, where you'll find more information about today's topic and a menu of other webcasts available to participate in. Funding for this program was provided as an unrestricted educational grant from these National MS Society chapters. For the National MS Society, I'm Rick Turner, wishing you health and happiness.